On the Triple M app and on your radio, this is The Rush Hour with Daisy and Bill.
When it comes to big performances in grand finals, we think JB put it best.
We're going to ask Duck what it's like to be a big power forward in a grand final. Oh. I was going to ask Bill that, but I've decided not to.
Please welcome two-time AFL Premiership player, Wayne Carey.
Jeez, Brayshaw's a flog, but that's right. A two-time Premiership player, 1996 and 99. Wayne Carey, welcome. Do you get excited? Are you feeling the vibe out there?
No, I'm not. I got to be honest, mate. How can you feel the vibe when you're in lockdown? It's not, I must admit, I'm getting a little bit, a little bit nervy and all of that sort of stuff. It's probably the one time a year that you wish you were still playing footy. About the only time I still wish I was playing. So, it is exciting, and I'm really excited to, obviously the Tigers have been the benchmark to see the Cats in another grand final.
Is part of your flatness like the rest of us, Duck, due to the fact that there's no cashies going around this week? You can't get there and tell the war stories?
No, I tell you what, I'm not flat for myself, because you two are the same, you'll be working on grand final day, so not flat for me. I'm flat for everyone else that can't have someone over and have a barbecue and watch the granny and do what we do and really enjoy the grand final. You've got to sit there on your Pat Malone with your dog and your cat and, watch the game by yourself. So it's not going to be very exciting for too many metropolitan Melbourne people anyway.
Unless you're in G-Town, Duck, of course, yeah. Where we can get 40 in a pub and 70 outdoors. But I tell you what, it'll be totally different than if Richmond – remember when Richmond won it? Remember Swan Street?
Yeah.
It'll be nothing like that, or maybe it might be. Who knows? But, hey, what about Jeremy Cameron leaving the Giants and wanting to come to the City of Dreams, Geelong? What did you make of that, Duck? And before that, have a listen to this also. I want to comment on this. AFL 360 last night, and they were talking to Chris Scott.
Have you spoken to Jeremy over the past 12 months to try and convince him to come to Geelong?
Yeah, I've spoken to him. So all clubs do that. But most of the time, I have to say that that's due diligence on the part of the player more so than the prospective club. And then that's been the case in my time in footy, to be honest, certainly in my coaching time. It's just impossible to expect players to consider a decision that's going to change their lives, certainly where they live and who they work with, without doing the appropriate level of due diligence. And when players rightfully ask for that opportunity, I think it's incumbent on the clubs that are interested to get the key people in front of those players.
Yeah, one word, Bill, shock. The fact that he's leaving, for me, I thought he'd stay. So I'm surprised. I'm sure there are a lot of people that are. But I think now this rule and allowing players, and I've been saying this for a little while now, is that I've always been a player man. I thought that the clubs used to have too much power and they could, break contracts and get rid of players when they wanted to, all that sort of stuff. You were treated just like a piece of meat. And now I think it's gone too far the other way. I know that, you play your 7 years at a club and then it's your right now to choose, pick and choose. Unfortunately, what's happened, and this was my concern when this came in, was...
Yep.
Stronger clubs get stronger, weaker clubs get weaker. As simple as that, because players in that situation are not going to go to weaker clubs. They want premierships, so they invariably go to clubs. And you look at Geelong, I mean, Geelong are in a grand final and they're going to more than likely sign Jeremy Cameron and Sean Higgins. They're automatically stronger next year. I know Ablett retires and all that sort of stuff, but I mean, to me... This was my concern, and now it's happening.
What do you make of GWS? Because there's obviously a few players now who have left. We had Aiden Corr before the final started. He's sure obviously a player they hang around or kept around because they thought they were in the premiership window. Do you think they're starting to get slightly concerned that maybe that window is closing and they need to revamp and re-energise their list?
Well, I think, look, I know Jeremy didn't have a great year this year, but there's no doubt losing him has certainly, and others, like you said, Corr and a couple of others as well, saying that they want out. that window is closing. I think the more talent you lose, then clearly it becomes harder and harder to win. I guess it's what they get for those guys. That's the key. I mean, if they get a couple of really good picks and then they pick up some talented kids, I think that's the other question, Daisy, is this year the worst year ever to have low picks and to be going into a draft, given that we don't really know? I mean, you know yourself, Daisy, how much you can improve in that last 12 months before you get drafted. You can go from being a nobody, and I'll use the Brayshaw boys as an example, and this is from talking to their dad, Mark, but he never expected those boys to go 2 and 3 in the draft. And 12 months earlier, they wouldn't have even looked like it. 12 months later, like I said, that's where they went. So you can develop really quickly. Those guys here in Victoria haven't been able to do that this year. So you haven't been able to see who has improved dramatically and who hasn't. So they're trying to see in the dark somewhat with who they're going to pick this year. So intriguing. To answer your question, is the window closing? Well, losing those players, yes, it is.
Well, I think no doubt the recruiters are going to have the biggest weight on their shoulder come draft time. But the Giants are requesting something similar to the 2 first-round draft picks they got when Treloar and Scheer left. The other big news, of course, is your footy club. Reece Shaw, big news the last couple of weeks. That's broken. Have you heard from the footy club about him? There's obviously talk potentially that they may be looking to pay him out. Do you know anything more? Because I don't want to be sitting here and writing off his coaching career, because I think everyone's best interest and intention should be seeing Reece return to full health and hopefully to coaching that football club.
Yeah, I think that's the furthest thing from everyone's mind. You're spot on. I think everyone just wants Reece to get himself right, and obviously our thoughts go out to him and his family. So in terms of coaching, I doubt it, I think. I was pretty strong on Triple M on the Saturday rub last Saturday. And look, what that has done, I've had numerous conversations with numerous people at North Melbourne, and a lot of those people have had numerous conversations with key people at North as well. So, and I've been asked whether I stand by what I said, and I certainly do. And what it's done is it's created conversation, and there's a lot of conversations going on right now at the North Melbourne Footy Club with a lot of people, and I think it's a great thing.
Yeah,
because I think it had to happen, and I think it's most certainly at the top of a lot of people at North now, and they're all talking to one another, which I think they needed to do.
You were very passionate on the Saturday rub about your old club North Melbourne, and said that you just hadn't heard from anyone. And now you have, so that is good, Duck. So we're all pretty good there now. We're all happy.
Yeah, look, no, it wasn't about me having to hear from anyone, Bill. I honestly, as you know, that wasn't scripted. I didn't come in that day thinking I was going to say anything about North Melbourne. What it did show me is that I did care.
Yeah,
and, that's right. In terms of communication, not with me, but with one another, and with being honest with maybe where the club's at, what needs to be done, being transparent with members and other key people at the footy club, and letting everyone know what plan we do have. And it wasn't about Reece. I mean, Reece's privacy was paramount. Yeah. It was about everything else that was going on. And what I'm pleased to say is I think that there a lot of conversations are being had now. And right. I think, you know, there will be more transparency with members and key people at the footy club, which I think is really important. I think that's happening.
Well done. Hey, we'll hear from you on Saturday. Are you calling the grand final?
I am, Bill. I am. I've got a couple of I'm doing obviously the rub with you and all the other boys who will be coming in through from 12 to 2. And then I'm doing some stuff with Channel 7, and then I'll be back to do the game for Triple M. I'm really looking forward to. Can't wait to grand final day. What a day, Bill.
That's magnificent, especially if the Cats are in it.
We can't keep your concentration on a normal Saturday. what about from the Cox Plate leading into...
You've got no hope, Doug. Absolutely none.
JB's calling. Oh, mate, don't worry. We'll have the Cox plate. Then, oh, the footy. It will be frothies everywhere. We got JB. We got Luke Darcy calling, two best callers. And then Juddy, Nath Brown, and Dark, their special comments. Ash Chua, the stats man. And Tom Brown on the boundary. That is one of the great call teams of all time. So good luck Saturday. And go Cats, Duck.
No worries. Yeah, I think it's going to be a ripper. I think the heart wants the Cats to win. I would love to see Ablett go out. I love Joel Selwood. Paddy Dangerfield in his first grand final. I just, just a softie hoping for them that they get a flag.
Nice.
Well, Triple M rocks the grand final from 7 p.m. and Duck is a part of that. This is the Rush Hour. JB's not here. Daisy and Billy, Triple M.